I mean, our computer, not only does it forecast, pretty much every election correctly, but long-term trends and things of this nature. And we had published back in even 1987 that the 2016 election would be the first time a third party could possibly win. Well, that ended up being Trump.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz, and Martin Armstrong is back with us again. We've got some election forecasts to provide you with, as well as what the markets are doing, what they'll continue to do. Marty, it's great to have you back on the show. So, oh, and by the way, if you want to find his work and sign up to his email list, it's armstrongeconomics.com. And if you want to send us an email, it's kl@carrielutz.com. Marty, when we last spoke, we don't usually get into politics on this show. It's a family show after all. And we don't want the little kiddies to be offended, but hey, it's obvious Trump is now the nominee, unless the courts say otherwise. My personal opinion, I don't think the courts will, whether they think he should be there or not. At this point, they're just going to go with the flow. What is Socrates saying about this next election, 2024?
Well, it's very interesting because the computers... never been wrong on its political forecasts. And since 1985, the only time, it even, correctly forecasts Brexit. So the only time there was maybe something interesting was the Bush-Gore election. It did show that Gore should have won. And of course, the Supreme Court gave it to Bush. After the fact, when the votes were actually counted, it did show that Gore would have won. I mean, it was a very tight race, but he would have won. So it makes me wonder about rigging elections, things of that nature. And what I've seen with its forecast for 2024, and I put it on our site, I have never seen the computer project something like this. Like I said, since 1985. Usually the elections are fairly close. You're looking at like 53. I mean, no president has won 60% other than FDR. Mm-hmm. Richard Nixon did. You had Johnson after the Kennedy assassination, which was more or less, I think, a sympathy vote. Other than those three elections, everybody in modern times, it's been like 53, 54. I think Obama got 51, like that. So this year's model is showing like 61% for Trump versus 37%.
So that's like
another, out of six models, four are all basically showing a Republican victory. The other ones are showing, okay, a Democratic victory, but again, it's like 51%. When you look at the confidence in government, there was a study just that came out in Europe, which has got a lot of the politicians a little upset. I was on phone with some of them over there. It showed the confidence in the European government is 30%.
That high, huh? That high.
I mean, it's even in Germany now, they're very concerned about the AfD is going to win everything. I mean, just 5 years ago, they were far right Nazis, and people are just getting fed up with all this, craziness, climate change. I mean, you've seen major protests over there from Netherlands and German farmers.
Farmers are up in arms.
And you can't blame them. I mean, but, even Ursula's own party is starting to back away from her because they're realizing this whole climate change is a disaster. And the whole idea of net zero isn't even practical to begin with. So I think these policies, if you look at Trump objectively, what does he stand for? He stands for against CBDCs, he's against climate change, and he's against war.
Sounds like a winning platform to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's forget who it is. I mean, if that's the issue is really for this election, I can see what the computers, are beginning to project. But I mean, you have, Alex Soros putting out this thing, showing a painted glass with a bullet hole and $47 next to it, which is clearly an implication, basically, that, to assassinate Trump. Because a couple of weeks before, he put out, the only way to stop Trump is to put him in prison. I guess he finally maybe read our blog, and I put on about Eugene Debs, who they put in prison, and he was still able to run for president for the election, but Wilson didn't like him. Yeah. And you look at the facts back then, he just stood up and said to resist, a war. And Wilson wanted him thrown in prison, and they did, under sedition. Free speech is depends upon, it's the eye of the beholder, we've been dealing with these, issues for a long time. There's just too much at stake. Honestly, I can't personally see how can they allow Trump to even win?
Yeah.
Those three agendas, I think Soros's little veiled threat is probably very real because they have no other shot. And looking at our computer, I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen it like this. So it's not my personal opinion here. I've just never seen it, project anything that drastic.
It's like they can't even fix it, right? It sounds like a margin that's too high to fix.
Yeah, I mean, look, the scheme about letting all the people in through the border, I encountered that before. I've told you in the past, I had the mandate from Hong Kong to negotiate with the Australian government when it was going to be handed back to China. They knew I knew the Australian government. So I met with the former Prime Minister Paul Keating, and I wanted to buy an island. No, I said, let them come in. We'll take the upper left-hand corner of Australia. There's really nobody there. No. And it just got very frustrating. And I said, I've got a blank check here. I can pay off your national debt. What's the problem? I assumed, I couldn't think of anything. I said, is this racist? And he said, no. He said, they're fleeing communism. And if they come here, they will vote conservative. And he was a Labor government.
Really?
That's what they were. They would not allow them to come in because they were afraid it would change the politics of the country. And that's what this is all about. They're letting all these people that they think is just simply from South America. And I suggest watching RFK's Nightmare at the Border.
The Chinese are coming in tens of thousands. They're not going to vote conservative. They're not going to vote liberal, right?
Who knows what they're going to vote for? But I mean, the point is that these people think they're all from South America, and they're not. If you look at RFK's documentary "Nightmare at the Border," 95% of the people were from Middle East and Africa. They weren't from South America. He said he met one couple from Peru. That was it. But look, intelligence is not required to be in government.
Discouraged.
You know, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I've met probably more heads of state over the years than anybody, but something really changed. I mean, I was good friends with Margaret Thatcher, and I was called in by Reagan, you know, back in the G5 days and stuff. I mean, there were people that actually you could have an intelligent conversation with. I mean, today, I don't know anybody that I could. not Trudeau, not Ursula, Biden, with Biden, I have to bring a napkin to wipe the drool from his mouth, it's something seriously has gone wrong. And there are just people behind all these puppets that pull the strings, and that's really what's our major problem.
They're all compromised.
I mean, Klaus Schwab is look, Ursula was on the board of Schwab's. Trudeau was basically one of his pet, projects of young leaders. You have Soros involved, who's basically funding a lot of the Democratic elections. They put up money for the Colorado thing to get Trump off the ballot. I mean, this is an agenda of a group of people that are clearly have something other than our best interest at heart.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. All right. So let's talk about markets. So we talked about gold last time. You said if gold goes down in January, it'll go up for the year. If it goes up, then it'll go down for the year. What's your forecast saying now?
Pretty much the same thing. I mean, January, I've said it was a major, major turning point for this year. You got the stock market going up. It looks like we make a January high, back off for at least a couple of months, maybe into May. Our major model turns May 7th. If that is a low, then you're looking at it turning back up after that. But I think it was confidence collapsing. And you have all these people running around saying, oh, the stock market's going to crash, blah, blah, blah. All these people ever look at is the old charts from 1929, and they have no idea what the fundamentals were behind all these issues. You had World War I took place, and then World War II. All the capital concentrated in the United States. That's what made 1929. You had all this money that came here basically to hide from World War I. And then we had, kind of like a dot-com bubble. It was automobiles. And so it's the same thing that happens in Tokyo in 89. The yen was going up. All the capital was concentrating there. And so then you get these, sort of bubbles at that point. And if you look at the three stock market indexes, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, and the Dow, the NASDAQ's more retail. S&P tends to be more domestic, institutional type stuff.
Right.
And the Dow is more of the showcase for international. Like we said before, when the Japanese came, what did they buy? They bought Rockefeller Center. They don't go down that and buying mom and pop houses for $200,000. They buy the trophies. And sure. So when the Dow is leading, that's showing you that big foreign money is still coming in. Mm-hmm. And we've got these neocons creating war on every front possible. From Asia to Middle East to Europe. And I've got clients in Tokyo that have woken up, and when you got North Korea shooting missiles off over testing, they've come to the conclusion they better have some money in the United States. And so you're seeing, real estate still rising, in selected areas. The stock market making new highs. I think you're going to see a high here in January, then a back off at least for a couple months. But this is basically showing what we're dealing with. It's as things get chaotic around the world, the capital runs over here. It's hard to invade the United States with, you know, you need a, you know, a flotilla to get here.
Or an illegal immigrant invasion, right?
Pretty much, yeah. But you have, you know, there's just a lot going on that way. And honestly, I don't, our computer keeps projecting war. But, you know, as I've said on your show before, I mean, our computer, not only is it forecast, you know, pretty much every election correctly, but long-term trends and things of this nature. And we had published back in even 1987 that the 2016 election would be the first time a third party could possibly win. Well, that ended up being Trump, because neither the Republicans or the Democrats liked him.
He really was a third.
Then for 2020, it said, you know, extremely tight, but 24, it said, you know, that could be the last election in the United States, and that nobody's going to accept it from either side. 28 might not even take place. Now, these are forecasts the computer has put out back in 1985. So having to live through this and see how it actually unfolds, it's like, you know, wow. You know, it's not my personal opinion. It's not being pro-Trump, against Trump, or anything else. It's just, this is the way it is. And I mean, even Nigel Farage came and spoke at our 2019 convention in Rome. He says, of course I'm here. He's the only one to forecast that Brexit would win. I mean, all the polls said, you know, Brexit was going to lose. I mean, they did the same thing with Hillary. So, I mean, these things are, they're, I think, driven mostly by the combination of what's happening in the world economy. And the real issue here is they know they're going to default. Mm-hmm. I've been warning in meetings for, honestly, for 50 years, this is not going to work out and end well. And they've always argued, well, we're the government, we're different.
Yeah.
How governments collapse. And this has been the standard model for throughout centuries. All right. And you can see it unfolding now. You have the neocons running off, blasting China all the time. You got generals coming out saying we're going to be in war with China within 2 to 3 or 5 years, whatever. Why would China then buy our debt? Mm-hmm. You know, and
too smart.
They are the largest holder of U.S. debt. Now, if they stop buying, all right, how governments collapse is that you issue new debt and nobody buys it, so you can't pay off the old.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it all comes crashing down, and we're coming to that area.
How close? And how close are we to that?
I would say it could be less than 2 years.
Really?
So what they're really looking at here, that's what this CBDC stuff is about.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to understand, all right, China and the BRICS, they're going to do a direct CBDC. So the government will actually control it directly. Mm-hmm. The U.S. government cannot do that. The Fed can't do it. It would be unconstitutional, Fourth Amendment, illegal search and seizure, stuff like that. So what they're doing is they're using the test model that they ran on COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand. I mean, if you look at a case, it's McRae versus Harris, a Supreme Court case. And I suggest reading it, a woman, you know, said that, oh, well, I have a right to an abortion, so the government should pay for it. And the Supreme Court said, no, the Constitution is negative. It's not positive. So it's a restraint upon government. It's not a right that you actually have. So if you look at the First Amendment, it says the government shall not pass any law. So what did they do? They turned it to big tech. You can do whatever you want. So Facebook can censor you. YouTube can. You have no constitutional right to free speech. That's a misnomer. The government cannot take it away from you, but everybody else can. So that's what they're doing with the CBDCs. The top banks are already queuing up to create these digital dollars. They will be the ones that actually issue the coins. The Fed will then cancel the currency, and they will be the monitors, all right, because the Fed can't do it legally. So if they see something in your account, oh, this looks strange, they're already required to file a suspicious activity report. So then they'll go to them, so, oh, hey, Kerry Lutz just did this, all right? And then that's fine. Then the government can go in, you know, that's a tip. But the government would have to issue a search warrant to go after you for the same thing. Right. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. So the banks are doing the same thing as like Facebook and everything else when they did with their First Amendment issues. Now the banks are going to do it for the CBDCs.
Okay.
And so the Fed will not be issuing a CBDC, and you have to understand this, it will be indirect, not direct. Now, once they do that, like I said, I've been in meetings for years and heard nothing but the same nonsense all the time. And they never assume that the government is ever a problem. It's always us.
Yeah.
So they think that eliminating paper money, and then we go to these, you know, digital dollars and whatever, then what happens is that will eliminate the underground economy. They really think they're going to get 35% more in taxes. This is the number I've been told.
They believe this?
There are no mirrors in Washington or Brussels. They never look at themselves. And this is what is really behind this. All right. Now, what I would think, I mean, I've seen these people, the great taking. I mean, it's complete nonsense, really. If they took everybody's assets, okay, then you're talking about the military. All right. Why would the military then defend the government?
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that. And it would be unconstitutional anyhow. When they confiscated gold, went up to the Supreme Court, and you read those cases, you still have the same number of dollars. You didn't lose anything. All right. That was their interpretation. It could have been clamshells or gold or whatever, but you still got the same amount of dollars in your account. So you didn't lose anything. So what they're going to do, in my opinion, is that they're going to be selectively defaulting. So by starting these wars, they will just default on China. They're not going to pay that debt. Mm-hmm. And anybody that opposes us, they'll just default on it. And that's part of what they'll do.
China has their debt that they defaulted on, that England settled it when they negotiated the handover Hong Kong, but we never settled it with the U.S. So we'll just tender our debt. We'll just cancel it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the nonsense that, you know, they're not going to pay it. I mean, it's simple as that. China's a fool for even buying anything at this point. Like I said, it'd be like, you know, me pointing an empty gun at you and saying, would you lend me $100 so I can buy some bullets to shoot you?
Yeah. So the dollar then loses its reserve status, currency status. Is that what's going to happen?
The reason the dollar is a reserve is because of nothing that the government does. It has to do really with the economy. Mm-hmm. All right. The U.S. economy is a consumer-based economy. And that's what, you know, China is trying to copy the United States. The other type of economy is like what Germany did. It's the old mercantile model from like the 18th century. We build stuff and we sell it to everybody else. But if you look at the stats, you'll see a German, the average German has less net worth than an Italian. They keep their taxes high, et cetera. So, they're more interested in building BMWs and Mercedes and selling them to the world. That's it. The U.S. is what has made the U.S. the major economy is that it's everybody needs to sell something here. Mm-hmm. You know, if the Japanese need to sell the Toyotas, et cetera. All right. So what you're looking at here is once they put in the sanctions against Russia, that undermined the world economy. That was the first blow because you started, dividing it. So China starts setting up its chip system. And then it starts getting more countries to go on that line. So the dollar will not be the exclusive settling currency. Mm-hmm. But from an economic standpoint, look, China had really nothing after communism, finally fell. Japan was wiped out after World War II. Germany was. It's the people that make it, an economy. All right. So Japan and Germany rose to the top. Why? Because the people were very hard producing. Now, you get these people that just talk about, precious metals. That's it. No, I'm sorry. Look at China, at Russia. They're the richest nation in the world from a natural resource perspective. In 1917, they had the largest gold reserves of any country on the face of the earth. But if they don't have an economic system that allows people freely to develop things, it doesn't matter. So, that's the real thing about the United States. And I think, listen to the speech of the head of Argentina at Davos. He was absolutely correct, and he was trying to warn the West, you're following the path that brought us down.
Right.
All right. Argentina was one of the richest countries in the world at the time.
Yeah.
And they fell from the top 10 to number 140.
Yeah.
His speech is very, very good. And a lot of people at Davos didn't like it, but.
All right. So we had a little bit of a power failure there. My generator has kicked on. So going back to Europe and, we're going to have these regional, currencies. There won't be a master reserve currency like the dollar now. Is that how it's going to shape out?
Well, I think you'll end up with two. The IMF is creating their own coin and they're trying to, replace the dollar. But again, I don't think they understand what makes a reserve currency to begin with. They think they can just decree it, and that's just not going to be the case. So I would say that I'm not really 100% sure that's going to work out very well for them. But what I would look at is you're definitely creating you bifurcated the world economy because of the sanctions against Russia. And so China is going to be going toe to toe with the U.S. as far as creating its network and redeveloping its Silk Road, etc. So as time goes out, the U.S. is definitely declining. Once they did the sanctions against Russia and took them out of the SWIFT. That was it. You know, and I should point out when Russia went into Crimea back in 2014, Obama went to SWIFT and wanted to have them removed. And SWIFT refused. They said, you're not going to turn the world monetary system into a weapon. So what did they do? They replaced the head of SWIFT in 2019. And Biden goes in, says, remove. Oh, okay, fine, whatever you want to do. So now the SWIFT system is no longer the world system. Simple as that. You know, they committed their own suicide.
Right. All right. So looking ahead here, because of the loss of faith in the government, we'll see higher stock prices, you're thinking, as more money flows into it from all over the world?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people like look at 29 and keep saying, oh, the stock market's going to crash. Look at this. All right, fine. That's what I mean. They don't understand the fundamentals behind any of this. And just ask yourself, are you willing to sell all your stocks today and all your private assets and go buy bonds from Biden? I mean, that's the real solution, what these people are saying, that there will be some giant crash. It's the opposite. The crash is coming in government, in which case the amount of money in government debt globally is at least 10 times that in the private sector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the smart money has been moving out. I mean, I'm still getting at least 3 calls a week. You want to sell your house? No, thank you. You know, where am I going to go? Chicago? You know, I mean, so the market has not died down over here. Then you also have the internal migration within the country. You've got people fleeing all the blue states, moving to the red states. And as that happens, then and the blue states are short on revenue, and instead of reforming, they just raise taxes. You just had Bezos from Amazon move to Miami. I mean, I can tell you I moved here 7 years ago, and back then, my lawyer said that if I died when I lived in New Jersey, tell your family to drag your body across the river before they tell anybody. Because they take half of what you earn while you're living, and then when you die, they want the other half. it's ridiculous. You know, and so many people have just been leaving. I mean, we held conferences in Hong Kong. I had to give New Jersey 10%. Why? You know, what'd you do for me? The only thing you ever give me is parking tickets and stuff, you know, in private parking lots, no less. So, I think that's where we're really going here. The confidence in government is collapsing. And as I said, their own study in Europe showed it's down to 30%. When you're looking at confidence collapsing like this, you're not going to buy the debt.
Yeah.
And that's the sovereign debt crisis, when China no longer continues to buy the debt and is a net seller. How do you then raise money to pay off the last tranche of debt that's expiring? Yep. That's when governments collapse. That's how it happens.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so inflation. We're looking at more inflation in the coming year, or is it going to back off or reemerge?
No, we're looking at an economic recession after May into 28. But that's going to be met with still rising inflation, because we're looking at, this type of inflation is more like the 70s. When OPEC raised the price of oil, it was a cost push inflation. So we ended up with stagflation. This is the same thing. Once they did that COVID nonsense, locking us down, I mean, I got emails from farmers that had killed 30 some thousand chickens because One, they couldn't buy the food to get it in. And two, they couldn't get anybody to pick up the chicken. This is egg on the market.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So what do you do?
Insane.
I mean, these people are honestly, those in government are just, there's nobody there with half a brain or maybe even 10% of one.
If they had it, they left long ago, right?
Look, I mean, I know a lot of people. I mean, I had one who I became friends with was the chief of staff for the House Banking Committee. And he was going to retire. And I said, why are you doing that? You're retiring early. He says, I can't take it here anymore. I got to get out. I said, we really could use people like you still here in the next few years. He's not interested. I know six other politicians leaving, all saying the same thing. You know, I just want to get out of here before the roof caves in.
They'd get their like multi-million dollar pension, their lifetime health insurance. Hey, one final question, Martin. So when everything blows up, how are they going to keep paying all these benefits, all these pensions, all the promises, Social Security, Medicare? Because like Margaret Thatcher said, your good friend, eventually the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money.
That's what's happening. If you look at the data from the IRS, you know, and the top taxpayers are all moving to the red states. In Florida, we have no income tax, state income tax. You go to California, it's 13.5%. It's just economically not feasible. And so at this stage in the game, what will happen, I think, is that they need war as a diversion. Mm-hmm. So what I have heard on war is that they may start it even this summer.
Really?
And look, these people they're insane. But the scuttlebutt is that, well, no president has ever lost an election during war. So we start the war so Biden gets reelected. Nice. Others are saying, well, they're afraid that Trump's going to win. So if they start a war before he gets in, then he can't get out of it. So I would be very concerned that you're going to see these people connive some sort of a war, you know, in the summer, probably maybe July. This is what they're doing.
All right.
And they need this diversion because government is collapsing. They're not going to be able to fund all these social programs, as you've pointed out. And then they blame everything. Like when inflation started, they were calling, oh, it's Putin's inflation, you know? They need a diversion because they are not willing to admit that since World War II, all they've ever been doing is borrowing every year with no intention of ever paying it off.
Correct.
As we've said, right now, we got interest payments at $1 trillion. When Ronald Reagan came to power, the national debt hit $1 trillion and everybody freaked out then. Well, now we got an interest payments annually at $1 trillion.
So these people, little things like police and fire protection and ambulances, those are social programs to them, just like any other social program. And they're there to be cut and to be done with as they see fit. It'll be interesting to see, if you can't pay the cops, how things turn out. In any event, been a pleasure as always, Martin. Make sure you go to Martin's site, sign up for his newsletter, armstrongeconomics.com. Link in the show notes right here. And Martin, we'll talk to you again in another couple months and see how this thing has unwound.
Well, nice to see you, Gary, and stay warm on your side of the state.
Thanks for listening to Cary Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.